Greetings, the automatically deleted husband. And I don't know about you, I haven't checked, but it was cold here the last few days. And, you know, so just don't go out. You know, there was the obvious thing. The heat was running basically all the time, but not all the time, because we had rolling blackouts. And it happened twice Saturday, and it happened for last night around midnight or so. So I found that fascinating, because it's been discussed about how this is being done in not obviously Ukraine, but in Europe. And, you know, to see it here, I found very, very interesting. And, you know, the other thing I found so fascinating was listen to somebody, some official somewhere, whatever, someone dignified in a college, university, whatever, telling us that, it was very cold, and this is the effects of, said with a straight face, global warming, because it had an impact on the polar ice caps, which forced the cold air south. So, you know, whatever you do to keep the narrative going, it's really amazing to me. But anyway, so that was a surprise to me to have, well, basically three times without power. Fortunately, it was done like for 30 minutes at a time, but still, it was kind of like, you know, I really wonder about that, because, you know, culturally, we're used to it. We're used to being, you know, you think, oh, how hard it was for those before we had electricity harnessed, you know, starting, you know, it really came on strong in the early 1900s, but it was, you know, and you see the electrification process, but you go back, you know, 100 years before that, because people didn't even have the idea. Well, you know, it simply wasn't the thing that was, you know, electric light bulb was still, heat pumps and whatnot were quite a few years away. But the issue is people didn't know. And so when cold weather, you would do the normal thing, you know, you'd burn more stuff. The advantage of that is right now I'm dependent on the power company. If you're in a cold environment or an environment that gets extra cold, you just simply go outside and get extra wood. So it's a very, very different environment. And, you know, so we have the convenience, but you pay a price, which is consistent with the idea. We have the convenience. You can go to Walmart and order on Amazon, have it delivered and whatnot, but there's a price. But anyway, I was also delighted I also saw four deer in my yard. I haven't seen that in a while. And they were just jumping around, heading that way. They were apparently disturbed anyway, because they were there fairly quickly there and gone. But it was a delight to see, because I haven't seen them that much, because, again, I have my neighbor's dogs are a bit on the noisy side and they run them off. But anyway, it was delightful to see. But two other things. One is, for Christmas Eve, because of the fact it was really, really cold, I didn't go anywhere. But I had a guest. And for several hours, Chris came by. And that was a big deal. That was an intensely big deal. We shared an omelet together. You know, and actually, I just ate an omelet. But sharing an omelet, they taste better. They really do. The other thing is, we shared a smoothie. You know, I actually have had two smoothies today. But that one yesterday tasted better, because it's shared. I mean, sharing, it's a big deal. But the other thing I find so important, and this is why I've said so often to, especially to my young guys, my hope for them is one that, especially when they're older, that they have a friendship, a relationship, where they can engage a brother seriously. We did talk about a variety of things. You know, we had some laughs and whatnot. He pointed me to, apparently, you know, because I haven't watched movies in years, but apparently another version of the Mission Impossible series is being filmed or whatever. I have no idea, because I think I saw the first one, when Tom Cruise took the lead, and I may have seen the second. I don't know. I saw the TV series when when it was, you know, the new thing, but it was what he did is he said he saw a 9-minute promo video showing some of the motorcycle stunts he was doing, where he literally rides off the edge of a cliff, a ramp, and goes off a cliff. And, you know, because obviously I have a reputation of being a bit uncomfortable with heights. And one, I wouldn't do the motorcycle thing in the first place, but, you know, to go off a ramp and there's nothing there. And apparently he did it as many as 30 times. And one of the things I thought about afterwards is he goes off this ramp and he parachute comes out. But it's also the motorcycle. And my guess, no, he did something else 30 times. I think that he only maybe did 6 or whatever, whatever. But either way, he did it multiple times. My guess is each time he did it, it cost a motorcycle. Because, you know, my assumption, dropping a motorcycle from that height does not make it prime merchandise to be on a used motorcycle floor. Kind of like, wow, you know, think about the expense that went into that. But the other thing was, one of the things we talked about is what he does. Yes, it's, you know, obviously there's a whole lot of safety and whatnot around him. But at the same time, if there is an accident, you know, it could be fatal easily. But the thing is, if you're going to die, because, you know, last time I checked, basically everybody does, that doing something you love and dying during that process is a whole lot better than just simply decaying away. I would contend that's true. That's why, again, you know, I told Chris, my anticipation is to, you know, perhaps be a lot older, take the hike to the top of Big Frog Mountain, start doing jumping jacks, and then be hit with a Hellfire missile. I mean, that the odds of that is pretty strong, don't you think? but having him here and then going into the depth we did on Scripture, this is, you know, the only time that I can recall going into serious depth like we do was when I was at Christ Community Church before I met my wife. There were two Sunday school teachers, and it was kind of like phenomenal. And I've never had anybody else like that before or after. And what they would do is spend most of the time, we're studying this particular passage, and they spent most of the time asking questions. And it was absolutely phenomenal. And it's not, what do you think about this? Because I've been in that environment. What do you think about this? No, it's, what does it say? What is the Lord saying? And if you go off and this, that, and the other, it's just, you can see why he's not saying that. So what is the Lord saying? That kind of thing. And that's what we did Saturday. It was such a joy. It really is such a joy. I should add one other thing. I have been living in the joy of feeding two addictions that are, shall we say, strong. One is cocoa. You know, my wife knows that I've enjoyed cocoa, and we would go get some of the lint and some other, what's the other one, get the bars and whatnot, typically try to get the 90% and stuff like that. I really enjoyed that. But now I get cocoa powder, raw cocoa powder, and I enjoy it even more. But I noticed because I used to say I was going through a pound a month. And I noticed my 5-pound bag was about empty. And when Chris was here, as a Christmas gift, he bought me another 5-pound bag of cocoa. You know, obviously, I'm appreciative of that. So I anticipate later this week, Lord willing, to have more cocoa to feed my addiction. Because I have noticed that I'm not doing a pound a week anymore. I'm doing about 2. I'm kind of, ooh. Wow, I am an addict. But there's another thing I'm an addict at. And I enjoyed it very much when my wife was with me. And because obviously that barrier isn't there, I enjoy it to an extreme now. And that's garlic. Cocoa and garlic, my fetishes. And I buy from Garlic Festival in California in August, typically July, August, the harvest to get the braids because they last for months and months and months. And I was concerned because yesterday, the day before, whatever, I pulled out the last garlic bulb in the braid. So I figured, okay, I have one more braid and that's going to be it. So I went today to my closet because I keep it, you know, on the shelf on the closet, pulled out the box, and I thought, this is heavier than I expect. And I pulled out the braid, and there's still another braid in the box. So I got the order of cocoa from as a gift from Chris, but I felt I got a gift from God today because I anticipated this is going to pull out my last garlic, and I was wrong. There's one more. And what I felt in that, I know it's silly and whatnot, but I felt loved. And I've noticed that on a lot of things, I've become a lot more emotional. Because here's a guy pulls out a braid of garlic, sits in takes the other one, leaves it in the box, takes it back to my bedroom closet, stick it back there for a month or two for now. And I was in a pool of tears. I was crying like a baby, tears of joy. Tears of joy over having yet one more braid of garlic. The guy's going nuts. But I felt the Lord's love. I really intensely felt the Lord's love. And I really think I have become, I become seriously emotional on so many areas. So, last thing. One of the things that we did Saturday is I told Chris, let me tell you a little bit about what I'm working on and why I'm doing this. Because I keep telling him I need to find somebody else to be the face of this, to promote this, because it takes a lot of time and I don't feel I'm the best presenter. I made my case to him. And he told me, what you said to me, that's what you need to promote. And I'm the one to do it. I was really encouraged because he said he felt my passion for what I'm doing. So, you know, Saturday, my day of rest. Sunday, I was doing some work. I did some software. And, you know, was thinking about it, and I said, okay. I thought about it, and so what I have is shofarnexus.com/toy, T-O-Y, toy, because these are ideas I am toying with. And I figured what I would do is I put together some stuff to share with some people and ask them to share it with others and whatnot, because, you know, I am sending email now with Shofar Nexus. You know, that part works, but the issue is there are features that have been added to emails that will help reduce spam and whatnot. And so a couple of those things I need to add in, and I haven't got that done. So my mailing list is not ready for prime time yet, which is unfortunate. But I'm going to use my regular email thing to send this out. Probably not today. Probably tomorrow. To let people know, shofarnexus.com/toy, because I don't have a direct link on the site. and say here are the ideas, and it's, you know, the primary focus I have: principal, profit, CV, and demo. You know, because CV is kind of, it has been displaced. You know, resume was the thing. Now CV's become more popular because it's more sophisticated. And apparently is a more precise expression, but you know, that's, you know, the anyway. And I wrote some stuff because the objective is, it's become very clear. Finding people interested on the principle of this has been, let's say, difficult. Difficult is a understatement. But do it for profit, because I've worked out some techniques, and it's not, oh, you can make $20,000 a year out of this. No, this is potentially a $1 billion market. So, you know, it's a living wage, but it's distributed. So I would think, you know, six figures should be easy to do for someone who wants to do it seriously. And but it needs a kickstart. And then, of course, there's the reason, you know, part of the reason for that is because, so I have the principal and profit. I want to do the profit ones to get hopefully the resources to build the ecosystem. Because with the ecosystem in place, then the principal things become self-funding. You know, I point to the demo website and whatnot. But, you know, I've only got it partially written, and it'll be tomorrow before it's done. But the point is, I wrote some of these things. For example, within the Shofar Leaks area is where I spend a good bit of time. I have collateral pipeline. The collateral murder for our time. Dead man switch. A fighting chance for man's ultimate threat. Sex slaves around the world and down the street. And then about whistleblowers. When I was writing some of those, you know, type it in, and then my habit is stuff that's important. I will stand here in my stand-up environment and read it out loud. And I catch, you know, the grammar errors and whatnot, and things that are not as clear as they should be. But in a lot of these things, I broke down into tears. I am not playing a game. You know, I use the collateral pipeline thing simply because you know, I point out the analogy, the reason I call it collateral pipeline is related to collateral murder. So I go and mention, you know, on July 12, 2007, an event occurred in Iraq. And, you know, July 12, 2000. Oh, that's that picture right there, isn't it? With Suzanne and myself. Oh, and it's that picture right there on the same day. Oh, and it's that picture right there on the same day. But, you know, these two were in Iraq. This was in Alabama, where the crew that did this was trained by the leadership, or these people associated with the leadership of the church we were members of. Anyway. But you know, you know, the one of the closing lines, it is to keep the source of a possible collateral pipeline alive. Because, you know, and I try to explain it, if someone were to come out and say, look, I have the evidence of who did the Nord Stream sabotage, as it's called, I don't think it'll be like Bradley Manning or Chelsea Manning, and they'd end up in prison. I think that person's going to be dead very quickly. You know, I think there's too much there. So I'm trying to provide the tools so the leaker can leak and stay alive. Maybe that's important. And of course, the sex slaves things. You know, I really think the objective here is I can't help all of them. But if I help one, did I? I'll read the last paragraph. For example, the example of the handgun is useful. It is often called an equalizer, as it puts into the hands of a victim perhaps enough power to stop the assailant. For some, shofar leaks might be the handgun. With the use of a dead man's switch, it might stop the victimization of for some. For even one, it is worth my effort. You know, dealing with people like Lynn and Gary or Miss Lillian, whatnot, it's not a big crowd. If one person is either prevented from being victimized or has the tools to make the victimization stop, it's worth my time. It's not that I have to get more. If I successful for one, it's worth my time. But, you know, again, the question is, can I find somebody else who cares? I do describe the dead man's switch because that is one of many ways. And I'm working on the section about whistleblowers because the important thing about that is whistleblowers make mistake after mistake after mistake. I want to explain that. I do have a section on shofar book, which I haven't written yet. There's the link to the site. You know, I do mention shofar coin, but again, I think, you know, there's no money to be made at that, except there's ways to basically save money. But I don't know if there's anybody who would drive that. Shofar City, again, is the analogy I did write about that, is the weekly fig thing that was successful and shut down by our government. And the techniques I have, the reason I think they succeeded is because there was a guy to push it. If I can find somebody to do the same, you know, wherever, he could be in Wyoming, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be this community. Again, if it works for one place, great. Because it's a big deal. And then, of course, the shofar portfolio, I don't think the description isn't in yet. But, you know, the line I came up with, the trademark, we don't know your stuff. You know, and this dates back to 2012. That's when I came up with the line, we don't know your stuff. 2012. What happened in 2012? Oh, yeah, it was abandoned. Because that concept is vital. Because Google knows your stuff. Amazon knows your stuff. The NSA knows your stuff. The issue is, there's a way to make money on this. But again, I can't do it alone. So I'm hoping to send this out. It'll be tomorrow. I won't finish the day. No way. No, you know, some of it's online. And hopefully get people to say, okay, I know somebody who'd be interested in looking at this. Because it's not just simply in one email. It's online. So one person can tell another and they can look and say, well, may I suggest, or I have a question on this so I can update it. And it's there for all. Because again, this is not playtime. Well, let me also read. Because, I have my, chauffeurnexus.com/toy, last paragraph, first sentence. Let me be frank about what I've heard about some who do not want to pursue this. There seems to be three primary issues: fear, secondary disagreements, and the whistleblower question. So, just the fear thing. Fear was best described to me in a phone call many years ago when a gentleman stated that I was on the wrong side of the NSA. So I will be as direct as he was. If that scares you to the point that you will not engage me or look into this, you are a minion. You are a coward. You have no hope. You might as well stop reading now and think in your mind some insulting thoughts about me to salve your conscience. Consider that direct. Was that direct? This is not a game. He's in prison in isolation. The people support him probably won't ever contact me because of secondary disagreements. You know, this man here, like me, is without his wife and kids because they're dead. And for me, my wife and kids have been virtually dead for about a decade, even though they still walk the earth. The man in the background there, he's dead because he was a good Samaritan. This is not a game. And it's just like, you know, again, the reason I harp so much in slavery and I point out about the M&M's factory down the street that uses slave labor to source their cocoa. It's a big deal. And I know I can't stop it all. But I take it seriously. And if, like the expression I did, whether it's in economic slavery, sexual slavery, the whistleblower, if I can keep one person out of prison or alive, it was worth it. Then, of course, there's Shofar book with my hope that one day someone, you know, again, my mind, someone who's been to the Hajj, who is devout Muslim, says, oh, here's the Quran, here's the Bible. Ha, the Quran is true, the Bible is false. Well, wait a minute. Now that I can compare them, now that I can see them privately without being tracked, and look at the two, and because of the grace of God, solely because of the grace of God, because I have the Bible in front of me, the Lord has opened my eyes to see the Bible is true, and the Quran is false. And see, that's the important thing. Somebody who's put his life into it thirsted to go to the Hajj, celebrated that, and now finds, I was wrong. I want to stand with that person. I want to bless that person. Big time. Not hit him over the head. Not use him as a marketing tool. Just be a blessing to him. But anyway, I'm pursuing this because I'm at the end of my rope. I'm about to run into a brick wall. I need relief, and I need it really soon, because otherwise January is going to be difficult. But I can't stop. You know, I really, because I mentioned, obviously, the event going to the 5K race for Willowbend Farms and wondering. A lot of the people there worked for the ministry or supported the ministry. And I wonder, was somebody there who was ministered to by the ministry? In other words, a sex slave. I want to bless them. I'm going to have to be able to eat, pay rent, feed my computers. Desperately need a new, not desperate, but my computers are, you know, I'm down to basically two, and one's showing issues. I use it only as a display because when you fire it up, it says hard drive is showing errors. I'm like, don't keep data there. Anyway, so much for something short. I had a wonderful Christmas Eve. A Christian brother, a fellow follower of Christ, came by my house and we spent hours together celebrating with food. And again, you know, one of the things I have pointed out now for years, because I questioned this many, many years ago. I believe the Lord's Supper is not a little wafer. I think that's just the Roman Catholic idea. It's a meal shared with brothers. I had communion Saturday because I shared a meal with my brother. That was a wonderful joy. And one of the things, actually, I think it was in Saturday's card. Did I do that in Saturday's card? Okay. I just had a long and delightful visit from Chris. It would have been better if it included our wives. The postcard I sent to my wife. Saturday. It would have been better by far. I want to encourage my sons, especially, to find that relationship with a brother and dig deep, mutually encourage. Again, it's the sum parakaleo again. On the Bible stuff, I've been playing a little bit just to connect the words. I did it quick and dirty. But so if you go to, did I say I was finished? You know, if you go to kozlowski.org, well, let me actually go to kozlowski.org, the online, _ book. And oh, it's still the old stuff. It's still the older ones. I have on my local machine. Maybe I'll update it. I've put in where you go to the word sum pericaleo. And you know, I need to, there it is. And it shows you it's made of sun pericaleo, which is made of para and kaleo. So it's right, you know, it's right there. And I really, I want to make that available to others. So others can on their own find these things, not from me, but from the Lord. Again, goes back to the idea is I really wonder, because we talk about the twisting of language, you know, male, somebody who identifies as a male. Yeah, right. So if the dictionary changes, what does it actually mean? What did the Lord say when he wrote these words? And I really wonder if part of the purpose is using words that are made up of smaller words. It doesn't take the professional. I put an amateur. You can see by looking at sum pericaleo, to together or gather, beside or near, to call. That doesn't mean let's have pizza. You change the meaning. It is the to console jointly, to comfort together, to call upon, to invite or exhort at the same time or together, to strengthen, comfort with others, the Strong's and Thayer definition, which just happened to be online. I want people to be able to do that because I'm not their teacher, the Lord is. And I want to give them access to that, to his words. And there's not a dime to be made at this. And, you know, well, okay, gee. You know, the last thing, where have you heard this before? You know, it is the idea, did I say it in here? Anyway, I've said it somewhere. I want to do the things for principle. And if there was a backer for that, that's my sole focus. But I will do the things for profit in order to fund the things for principle. Because it's probably a lot easier to find somebody who'll back that. Anyway, I'm pursuing this. I'm running out of time. So it's my undivided focus. You know, it also gives the tools for, what's that other word? I think, you know, if I recall correctly, if you, you'll see, like in Matthew 5, you know, the idea of, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled with your brother. Reconcile, dialoso, comes from two words. Dia, which is through. Alasso, to change, which is to make different. So through making different is the root of where we get the idea, reconcile. Because the way things are is wrong. Anyway, wow, 40 minutes. My lady, my wife, I had a delightful Christmas Eve. I pray my wife and my kids did the same. I ask, next year's Christmas, let's do it together as a family. And it remains my hope on your birthday next year to be at the top of Big Frog Mountain. I would like to have George there. Really would like to have George there. Maybe some of the other kids. Maybe all the family. Maybe even my wife. And at the top of Big Frog Mountain, do jumping jack number 1,000,000. Because I'm well over 600,000 now. I promised I would strive to stay healthy. There's your evidence. Celebrate that with me. As the woman who committed her life to me, please, my lady, my wife, I'm seriously in love with you. And unquestionably, I want you back.